Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister says he believes the European Union's Lisbon Treaty may remain unchanged despite calls for modification of the bloc's budgetary rules. The Speaker of the Lower House has declared a period of legislative emergency, allowing government reform bills to be fast-tracked through the Chamber of Deputies. And the Lower House has passed a bill intended to rein in a boom in subsidised solar power. The Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas says he believes the European Union's Lisbon Treaty may remain unchanged despite calls for modification of the bloc's budgetary rules. At a two-day summit in Brussels, EU leaders asked the President of the EU Council, Herman Van Rompuy, to prepare by December changes to the document aimed at shoring up Europe's defences against any future financial crises. However, Mr. Nečas said he did not rule out the possibility the Lisbon Treaty would remain as it was. He said he favoured introducing crisis management mechanisms without actually amending the treaty. The Czech delegation to the summit also joined 10 other states, including Germany, France and the United Kingdom, in protesting a proposed 5.9% increase in the EU budget in 2011. Prime Minister Nečas pointed out that at a time when savings were being made, it was not possible for the bloc to live as if it were on an isolated island, without regard to the fact cuts were being implemented elsewhere. The summit eventually agreed on a 2.9% limit on the EU budget increase, but tough negotiations are expected with the European Parliament, which voted for a 5.9% rise. If no deal is reached by mid-November, the 2011 budget will be frozen at the 2010 level. Czech Lower House Speaker Miroslava Němcová on Friday declared a state of legislative emergency from November the 1st to the 15th, allowing government reform bills to be fast-tracked through the Lower House. In the course of that fortnight, the centre-right coalition government hopes to push through the lower chamber four bills which form the backbone of its austerity plans for 2011. Prime Minister Petr Nečas requested a state of legislative emergency following the Social Democrats' victory in last week's Senate elections, which will give the opposition the power to delay the government's reform plans. The Chamber of Deputies has passed a bill intended to rein in a boom in subsidised solar power. The government envisages continued state support for solar panels for home use, but wants to tax solar power subsidies for commercial use and increase charges for land leased for solar panels. The unexpected boom in subsidised solar power has resulted in a steep rise in electricity prices, with a predicted rise of 12% for households and 17% for firms next year. The government is hoping that by effectively cutting back on subsidies, it can significantly curb the predicted rise in electricity prices. The bill will now go to the Senate. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend is expected to be bright and sunny, with afternoon highs reaching 15 degrees Celsius in places. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech Republic with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up today, the Czech Prime Minister has been fighting his corner at a summit of government leaders in Brussels. We'll give you a rundown of some of the most significant awards handed out on Czech National Day, and there's the regular weekly highlights from the world of business. Then later in today's feature, we look at how a Hobby Time blog is seeking to change perceptions of the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so stay tuned. EU leaders have agreed at a summit in Brussels on limited changes to the Lisbon Treaty, aimed at protecting the bloc's economy. The Czech Prime Minister, Petr Nečas, is cool on that idea, saying it would be better to find a simpler way of creating a new crisis management system. Mr. Nečas has also criticised a proposed increase in the EU's 2011 budget, saying in a time of austerity, the Union should be keeping spending down. Ian Willoughby has been following this story and joins me now. Ian, what has been agreed in Brussels?
Well, in the early hours of Friday morning, EU leaders announced they had agreed to make limited changes to the Lisbon Treaty, which, as you know, came into force less than a year ago. They said that such changes were needed in order to create a permanent system to deal with national debt problems and to punish states that don't keep their budget deficits and debts in check. The President of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy, is due to present Europe's leaders with concrete proposals in December on the form that such amendments should take. As for the position of the Czech Republic, the Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas, he made it clear he would prefer avoiding an amendment to Lisbon that would need to be ratified by all member states by a parliamentary vote or by a referendum. In fact, Mr. Nečas told reporters early on Friday he believed that in the end the European Union's main treaty may not actually be changed at all.
I wouldn't completely rule out the possibility that the treaty will not be changed, because firstly, agreement has to be reached on the mechanism, and that hasn't been created yet. Secondly, it's theoretically possible that a change of secondary law could suffice for that mechanism. The third possibility is some small change in primary law, that is, to the Lisbon Treaty. But for now, all such considerations and hypotheses are premature, because work is beginning on everything just now, and it should be prepared for December's European Council summit.
I understand there was also a lot of talk in Brussels about the EU's budget for next year.
Yes, Chris, that was the second big issue that dominated the two-day summit in Brussels, the EU's proposed budget for 2011. The European Parliament has been pushing for a budget increase of 5.9% next year, but that idea has met with a lot of strong resistance, with the UK leading a group of 11 members, including the Czech Republic, demanding a maximum increase of only 2.9%. That's more or less half the amount that the European Parliament wants. The Czech government is planning unprecedented domestic spending cuts next year, and Petr Nečas said that Prague was firmly opposed to the European Parliament's plan. He said that in a situation in which savings were being made, it wasn't possible for the EU to behave as if it were on a desert island, ignoring the fact that cuts were being implemented everywhere else.
Before you go, Ian, wasn't there some dispute between the Czech Prime Minister and the country's foreign minister before the summit even began?
That's right. We have seen a little verbal spat between the two this week. Last week, the Prime Minister discussed Czech policy with regard to European affairs with the President, Václav Klaus, at Prague Castle. Then a few days ago, the Foreign Minister, Karel Schwarzenberg, made a public complaint saying he had no idea what the two of them had actually discussed. Then on Thursday, on his way to Brussels to the summit, the Prime Minister responded, saying he had no duty, formal or informal, to inform anybody about the talks that he had with the President, and that no minister had any business interfering in his relationship with the head of state. So perhaps that's some evidence of at least a little bit of bad blood in the Czech coalition government.
OK, thanks very much for that, Ian. Thursday marked the 92nd anniversary of the founding of Czechoslovakia. And, as always on that day, a group of outstanding figures received the country's highest honours. This year, President Václav Klaus bestowed medals upon 22 men and women, among them heroes of the Second World War, and accomplished individuals from the worlds of science, sports and culture. Christian Falvey reports.
The Order of the White Lion is the highest accolade the state can give, and with it, the President recognized three Army corporals this year for their outstanding service to the nation during the Second World War and the hardship they had endured afterwards. Emil Boček was a highly decorated fighter pilot who escaped the occupation to join the Royal Air Force at the age of only 16. Jan Plovajko found himself in a Soviet gulag for 3 years after the Nazi invasion, a situation he survived only because he was sent to some of the bloodiest battles to fight. The most remarkable story is perhaps that of Maria Lastovetska, whose face hit the world press when she was a deadly 22-year-old sniper. She survived an explosion that broke her back and continued in the war as a rescuer, dragging dozens of wounded soldiers to safety. Today she is 90 years old.
Ale jsem moc překvapila i dojata. Corporal
Maria Lastovetska told Czech television she felt surprised and touched by the recognition. The Order of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk went to four individuals for their outstanding service to the development of democracy, humanity, or human rights, namely Dr. Jan Haluza, Julia Hrušková, Jan Janku, and Josef Vlček, all of whom had stood up to the communist regime and survived imprisonment, labor camps, and torture. Among the 15 recipients of the Medal of Merit are scientists, doctors, and writers, but also some well-known figures of arts and culture, and even sport, most notably hockey player Jaromír Jágr.
Jaromír Jágr is a continuing legend of hockey at home and abroad. He's a true celebrity who enjoys great popularity and sets a positive example for the younger generations. Mr. Jágr, please accept this distinction from the President of the Czech Republic.
Other individuals of merit were Dr. Eva Zaoralová, who was key in the resurrection of the Karlovy Vary Film Festival and its transformation into a world-class event, and the actress Hanna Maciuchová, who has been a fixture of Czech theatre and television since the 1960s. There's usually at least one controversial pick for the Award of Merit, however, and there was no doubt in the mind of the artist and National Gallery director Milan Knížák that he was that person this year.
I am a controversial figure, and as a controversial figure, I received this award, and I received it from the controversial President Klaus. Are you satisfied with that?
Further recognitions included that of conductor Vladimír Válek, who led the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra to world renown, and Liberec fireman Roman Hlinovský, who was cited for his exemplary and timely response during the massive flooding that struck his region earlier this year.
Christian Falvey there on those National Day awards. And now I'm joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarova for the business news.
Czech brewers are predicting their worst year in two decades. Beer consumption during the first 6 months of the year fell by 12%, with per capita beer consumption falling from 160 litres to around 140. The Czech Beer and Malt Association says the year-end percentage drop could exceed 12%. In spite of weak demand, the country's second biggest brewer, Staropramen, this week announced that it will raise the price of draft beer by an average 4.5% from November. Market leader Plzeňský Brazdroj is weighing up how fast to follow that move.
The country's second biggest commercial television station, Prima, has announced that its ad charges will climb by 10% from the start of next year. The broadcaster says the increase is based on an upturn in demand after the sector was one of the worst hit by the economic downturn when heavy discounts were offered to advertisers. But the commercial TV outlook is far from clear, with some predicting the downturn is set to continue next year. Nine-month revenues for the biggest commercial station, Nova, announced this week show that they are still trailing those for 2009.
But there is no doubt about recovery at the country's biggest carmaker, Škoda Auto. Net profits more than doubled in the first 9 months of the year to over 6 billion crowns, around $336 million, compared with the same period in 2009. Total turnover was up just over 16% at 160 billion crowns, with a nine-month record of almost 569,000 cars sold. Škoda Auto's board chairman repeated the target of doubling car production to around 1.5 million cars a year with a 10-strong portfolio of models within a decade.
Banks are turning more and more to forced auctions of homes as a rising number of Czech families find they cannot pay mortgages. The proportion of badly performing home loans rose to just over 3% at the end of August, around double the total a year earlier. And banks are increasingly turning to forced auctions of properties where there is no chance debtors can repay loans. The number of forced auctions climbed to over 600 in the year to September, more than double the total for the whole of 2009, with banks predicting even more forced sales in 2011.
Hot from putting the lid on an expensive solar power boom, which threatened to increase electricity prices next year by more than 20%, the Czech government is now seeking to head off other costly surges in renewable power. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has pinpointed incentives for burning biomass for power generation as the next likely problem area, and called for a commission to monitor developments. One problem is that the Ministry of Industry has itself selected biomass as one of the most promising areas for development, as it shifts the renewables burden away from solar power.
And now we've reached the final part of our programme here on Radio Prague. A blog that started as a hobby has become something more for its author and for those readers for whom it's become an essential tool into finding out more about the hidden treasures of the Czech Republic. Sarah Borovka spoke with its author about how it began and developed.
When Barbora Jarosová, the head of marketing at a Prague global real estate services firm, started blogging about cool places, hip design, and trendy restaurants in the Czech Republic, it was mostly for her own pleasure and to inform close friends of what's happening in Prague and other Czech cities. On her website Porkymysl, readers can see gorgeous photographs of little-known and unique locations, and to many foreigners it comes as quite a surprise that there is more to Prague than dumplings, beer, and Art Nouveau buildings. I talked to Barbora about what she would like to change about the country's reputation, what reactions to the blog have been like so far, and about her time spent abroad.
I actually studied in different places. I finished my high school degree in Sweden, came back, and went to Canada for university for my graduate studies. The reason I came back from Canada was I completed my studies, and I sort of in my last year started to feel this need to come back home and use the education I acquired abroad and the experience, work experience, use it at home and apply it to the job market here.
And I understand that you studied politics and now work in marketing or PR. Do you think that those two fields have anything in common at all? Do you find you can apply things you learned in studying politics to your job now?
Yeah, I have to say I'm one of those cases where I did my bachelor's degree in political science and my master's degree in Canada in history. And those were things that always interested me, that are sort of, till this day, my hobbies. When it came to looking for a job in my graduate years, I realized that I'm not an academic type, but I still enjoy the research side of things, writing very much. So I thought PR and marketing would be a field where I could apply that knowledge. And now, having worked in the field, I think I was correct to the extent that, of course, I don't have a business education, and there's a lot of things I had to learn on the field in terms of business. But when it comes to communicating, writing press releases, writing analyses, researching market trends, that is definitely something that I think every humanities student knows very well.
So you spent quite a bit of time abroad and had longer time periods where maybe you did not live here, you only came to visit. Have you seen the country change and design and trends here change?
Definitely. It was always interesting for me to live abroad for, say, 2-3 years or more and then come back and live here for a bit, because I think that's when you notice most of the differences. When you come back, a couple of years ago, I would notice that the fashion trends here were maybe a couple of years behind. The offer, the retail offer generally, was a little less varied. And just the charisma of the people maybe, or the kind of the daring attitude of the people was a little bit different. People were a little more conservative here, I found, than in other countries where, you know, you would wear vintage clothing or just kind of be innovative with the way you dress, express your personality by the way you dress. But later on, as I moved to Canada and came back, I started noticing big difference. A lot more stores and fashion brands, obviously, here, especially Prague. A lot more foreigners living here as well. So there's more cultural kind of differences, and it just enriched Prague as well from that perspective. So I think that has had an influence on Czech people as well, and you can see that in the way they dress, and how they use clothing and other things to express themselves, where they like to go clubbing, and even recently gastronomy, the sort of things they look for when they want to go for nice food.
So maybe you can tell me a little bit about your blog, Pragi Mysl.
Basically, the idea just started from the fact that I have a lot of friends live from abroad because I studied in different places, and every time they came to visit me or they recommended their friends who were visiting Prague to contact me, they asked me for tips on where they could stay, places they could eat, what they should see in Prague. And I found that most of the tourist guides are very conservative. They obviously list the big sites in Prague and the traditional restaurants, traditional Czech food, but I wasn't always happy with, say, the service. And a lot of my friends are young, hip, and modern, and they don't necessarily just want to look around the churches. They also want to see modern, interesting designs, interiors, local fashion brands, local designers. I think that's part of traveling as well. I realized there's very few, if any, sites that would sort of offer that. And because I kept sending these links over and over, I figured I'll just start a blog and kind of summarize, just for my close friends and then maybe anyone else who's interested, the sort of modern things you can find around Prague, so that you don't associate Prague and the Czech Republic just with post-communism, great culture, and classical music, but that it's also something that's very much nowadays and happening.
And I think on the starting page or homepage of your blog, at the top there's a little disclaimer that basically says something to the effect that the Czech Republic is not, the first thing that comes to mind is not trendy, hip, cool. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's, and I might be wrong, and I think this perception is slowly changing, so I don't want to say that that's the only kind of stereotype associated with the Czech Republic, because there are a lot of designers and other people, intellectuals coming out of this country. And I think if you're an expert in one field or another, you know this. But I think the general public and the sort of common quote-unquote tourists that come here or would be interested in traveling into this area still have the Czech Republic associated with post-communism, Eastern Europe. You know, for a long time, this location was, you know, cheap, great beer, sexy women, but that's about it. And I still feel that from the way I've been asked about my country when I lived abroad. And surprisingly, even among educated people and professors, the questions I got sometimes were surprising, you know, in the sense of, oh, you're moving back, how is it there? You know, worrying sort of tone of voice. So obviously this perception is still out there. To what extent, I'm not sure. So I wanted to change that.
And now 20 years after the Velvet Revolution and after the end of communism, do you think we're still catching up? Do you think we've caught up, or are we simply going in a different direction in terms of design and style and culture than the Western countries Western countries in Europe are going?
I think in a lot of things, we're still catching up. I do think, however, if you look at Prague, then it's a major city in Europe, just like any other. I think a lot of people, tourists, when they visit Europe, they think of Berlin, Paris, London. And when you say Prague, they don't necessarily know what to expect once they come here. And a lot of friends that came to visit me were surprised. It's a big city, it's historical, it's modern, it's living. So I think Prague is at a very comparable level with Western Europe. In a lot of things we are catching up, and in a lot of things we're simply different because of the way the market evolved. So I think what will be interesting to see is which direction Czechs and culture decides to go. I would very much appreciate if there was more attention paid to the young talent and the young sort of designers, chefs, and so on, also in the Czech media and in the Czech sort of social scene, because I think we have some great talent that's already appreciated abroad and sometimes not even heard of back home.
And in terms of feedback, was there some nice feedback you've gotten so far? Some unexpected reactions, maybe?
It was interesting because, like I said, I really didn't expect this, or I'm not doing this to become famous or to get a lot or generate a lot of traffic. I really used this first as just even a diary for myself to remember the nice places that I like and share them with my friends. And I was contacted by One Travel, a blog in the U.S., if I could be a guest blogger. So I already wrote for them as well, and that was definitely nice to see that someone's interested in this region and interested in me writing about it. So even if I get one comment like that in 3 months, I'm happy if that changes at least that person's perspective on this region, or if I can communicate my perspective a little further outside of Europe, then I'm happy.
Barbara Yaroslava talking about her blog to Sarah Borufka in a feature first broadcast in August. If you want to listen to anything you've heard in the show today, then you can at our website, www.radio.cz. But for me, Chris Johnston, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye. В эфире Радио Прага и навещание чешского радио. В связи с переходом на летнее время, передачи русской редакции Радио Прага выходят в эфир по новому расписанию. Внимание! Передачи выходят в эфир по универсальному времени. Московское летнее время соответствует универсальному времени плюс 4 часа. В Минске и Киеве универсальное время плюс 3 часа. В 4 часа утра русская редакция «Радио Прага» выходит в эфир на частоте 9445 кГц. В 11 часов 30 минут по универсальному времени вы можете нас услышать на частоте 9880 кГц. С 14 часов 30 минут русская редакция «Радио Прага» выходит в эфир на частоте 11720 кГц. Уважаемые радиослушатели, обратите свое внимание, что ныне русская редакция «Радио Прага» выходит в эфир также и в 17 часов 30 минут на частоте 7205 кГц. Напоминаем, что все программы русской редакции «Радио Прага» на коротких волнах выходят в эфир по универсальному времени. Разница с московским летним временем составляет плюс 4 часа.